on that.
It was a diagram of the year. I was back in Texas.
Wait, listen, he's telling us what it is.
I know. About studying the dang ear.
You're not a little too much information.
I do kinda like the ear.
It is your favorite.
He liked the ear.
Right.
You said you liked the ear.
He said the thing.
Because of your brother. The hair cells, I'm sure we will not be seeing those.
Same markings.
The internal cavity of the.
Hopefully, I can lean all about the eye.
Just that.
Did you get laid in there?
I did.
Alright. You should be.
I feel pretty okay with it.
Yes.
I just wonder how much I remember.
Are you gonna give us, I remember the actual eye, what about the calendar, like?
The full, for Raymond, you said that there was like six you wanted us to at least name?
You should know the biggest of them all.
Oh, no.
And Agnes for Raymond.
Yes.
And what is the one in the ischium iliac pelvis?
That's the operator.
Operator for Raymond.
There's also some other large ones in the skull that you should probably.
Like the occipital one?
Like the.
And then the jugular?
I'll let you go through and look them up before.
But you know what, the jugular, is obvious, it was carotid. It's supposed to be on top of the jugular, right? Because in different pictures, it says it's in different places. So I just wanna know what carotid really is.
So.
Operator for Raymond on that one.
Skeleton.
Oh, yeah.
Picture.
My brain hurts right now.
My sutures are getting really.
My skeleton.
Well, it's inside you.
Okay.
What about the cribriform plate? Is that like a foramen or is that just a plate? That's the plate that holds the brain, right?
No.
So.
Sclera.
Cribriform plate would.
So it is the nose, but here's the get. So cribriform, there actually is part of it that is on the lower portion of your brain.
Oh, cavity. You know.
So it does associate with your brain.
Okay.
Right.
So then that, let me see. Here.
Okay.
I'll have to look at it.
So
the jugular for Raymond?
For y'all's test.
The hypoglossia canal?
For y'all's test next week.
Here.
Okay. I'm going to finish the axial skeleton. And so it will include the skeleton, the axial muscles. So it will include axial muscles, general muscles. So I think it's, what is it?
It's in here somewhere.
Here it is. Can't remember numbers. So 9A and 9B. And then all of the skeletal system and joints. Skeletal system, joints, and muscle A and B. C will just roll to the next test. And that will also include cardiovascular, lymphatic, respiratory, and if I can get to it, endocrine. Yeah, I'll just have to shift it just a little bit. So.
I have a question.
Yes.
For the form, for Raymond oval, what if we just put like oval?
You left the E off, but you put foramen oval? That'd be okay.
Oh, do we have to put the foramen always? Or can we just put like rotunda?
What they're called. Right.
If it's a foramen, it needs to say foramen. If it's a fossa, it needs to say fossa. Does that make sense?
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Okay.
What about olfactory foramen?
Will
that count?
In the book, it would say some of the holes were either fossa, and then the lab was more like they were canal. So do we just stick to the manual?
So, yes, that may. Okay. Just be glad I didn't pull the cat skeleton.
Yes, thank you.
I found them though. We have them. They hid them from me probably intentionally.
Yeah, because they're just conspiring against you.
Yep, everybody is. Now they put it in the other lab. Alright, so with this diagram, so your insertion in this case is the lumbar spinous process and the C7 spinous process. For some reason, that word wouldn't come to me earlier. Okay? And your insertion for the longissimus is going to be your iliac crest and your sacrum. Okay? And for your iliac costalis, it is actually going to be your iliac crest and your sacrum. And the antagonist is going to be your abdominal muscles. I've talked about this one, I would know this one. Okay?
Which one was that?
So, it is the epaxial.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so muscles for respiration. So you have your external intercostals and your internal intercostals. You are also going to have your diaphragm. Okay, your diaphragm is the main one that is going to drop the pressure inside your thoracic cavity to allow you to inspirate, which we're going to talk about when we get to respiration later. Okay? So, inhaling is actually going to be a passive process. So, your diaphragm is normally in an arched shape. Okay? When you want to breathe or inspirate, you contract that muscle, which drops it down. When it drops down, you actually end up decreasing the pressure in your chest cavity, and since you have an open mouth, air comes in.
Okay? Inspirate.
Yep, inspirate. And when you go to expirate, okay, you relax the diaphragm and you collapse down your internal iliacostals and it contracts your thoracic cavity. Okay, so you are also going to have some other lovely muscles. You have your transversus thoracis, okay? They are going to help pull your thoracic cavity back together. Okay, you have your scalene muscles, which are going to help during inspiration because you want to rotate that rib cage up and out, okay? All right, so inside your diaphragm, you have some lovely openings. You have the caval opening. You are also going to have your esophageal opening, okay? The caval opening is where your inferior vena cava comes in, okay? All right, so on the backside, you will have your aortic opening where your aortic arch is going to drop down. Your aorta is protected by your spine, by the transverse processes, okay? All right, so that's covered just about everything I need to there. You do have a central tendon in the diaphragm itself that it pulls off of. So it is a muscle around a central tendon. This is what allows you to depress that, is because all the muscles contract in a circle. Okay? All right. So muscles of the abdomen. We've already talked about this. You do have your rectus abdominis. Okay, some of y'all had a rectus sheath that was, okay, y'all cut really, really well. Y'all did a really good job overall because most of the time the rectus abdominis is butchered by the time I get in there. Some of y'all actually still had the rectus sheath on the cap. That's hard to do, okay? It's mainly because I think y'all were using scissor blunt dissection and you didn't butcher it with a scalpel. Okay? That's usually what happens. Alright. So, off to the side, you will have your internal and external obliques, and then under all of these three, you're going to have your transverse abdominis. Okay? Your obliques pull at an oblique angle. This is what is going to help maintain your internal organs in their place. Okay? Because gravity wants to make them fall forward and out. Okay? Your obliques are what's pulling up and back. Alright. Off of the center line, you're going to have the linea alba. The linea alba is where your rectus abdominis are going to meet in the middle. Alright.
I'm sorry, so, excuse me? The rectus
abdominis?
Yes, was actually put on top. There's a picture where it's up here and then the next picture is like, yeah, it's weird.
That's weird. I'm gonna have to look at it. Okay. So, but yeah, no, the even
so
in the cat.
So it is in the more, okay.
Yeah, even in the cat is right here.
Yeah, it's in the bottom. Okay.
From here down to here. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, the rectus abdominis is basically what you call the 6-pack, the 8-pack, the 2-pack, or in my stepdad's case, the keg. Okay. So, all right. So, your hypaxial muscles, this is another one that I would know. So epaxial, hypaxial, and mastication are the three tables that I'm suggesting you know. Okay, so group, you have your abdominal and your respiratory. Okay, you are going to have spinal nerves that are going to innervate your abdominal muscles, and then you are going to have your intercostal nerves, which are going to innervate your respiratory muscles. Minus your diaphragm, which is your phrenic nerve, which is going to come from C3 through C5. You want to have multiple control points. I think I said this earlier when we were covering neuro. Okay? All right, the muscles. So all of the muscles are going to work together. Bless you. For your abdominal is your rectus, your transverse, your external and internal obliques. This gives you an idea of their origin and insertion. And you have your external intercostals, your internal intercostals, and you have your transverse gyrasis, the one I pointed out earlier. Okay, all three of these are what's going to allow you to control your respiration along with your diaphragm. And the attachments for your diaphragm, basically it's the lower portion of your rib cage. Okay, so internal intercostals and transverse thoracis are antagonists and to your external intercostals. So your external intercostals are what allow for the inspiration. They're going to pull up and out. Okay? Your internal intercostals are going to pull down and in. This is what allows your rib cage to rotate out and forward and down. Alright. So okay, critical moment. So here's what I'm gonna do. Okay, I've gotta go set up cats in the lab. You could probably use this time to study.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
about right.
Maybe get some real food, okay? So, because more than likely, you probably haven't eaten much in the last 24 hours. Okay,
so.
All right, see. I've been in y'all's shoes before, and it wasn't that long ago, so I kind of understand. So, I will see y'all in lab, and what time is lab going to start? It's what, 11:30? So, 11:30, I'll see y'all there.
I have a question.
You will need lab coats. You do not need goggles. Okay? So, eventually I will put these in. I just haven't done it yet.
When are those?